Let me get into the word here. I'm going to start with Philippians chapter 4. It says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. He starts with that word therefore. It seems like every chapter starts with therefore. Therefore means we got to think, what's the therefore? What's he talking about? What we talked about last week, we talked about not having a righteousness of our own. That's a dangerous thing. No, our righteousness comes from God, and because our righteousness comes from God, Paul says, I want to know Christ, and because I want to know Christ, therefore, he says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Therefore, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, therefore, and the emphasis here in verse 1 is stand firm. We need to stand firm in the Lord and not be shaken. God's given us a job to do. We've been called for a purpose. Don't let anything stop you from doing the will of God. And the thing that seems to stop us often, in where we're leading today, in Philippians 4, verse 6, is anxiety. And so I want to talk a lot about anxiety today. In verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. And I see this seems to be something that plagues a lot of my brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of Christian people who have experienced the love of God, they've experienced the grace of God, they know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and yet their lives are still hounded by this anxiety, this worry. And Jesus says, do not be worried. We should not worry, and yet we worry. We're anxious. The definition I have, the excessive concern over the affairs of life. And the key word there is excessive, the excessive concerns. Yeah, we got to be concerned about the affairs of life. But if it's an all-consuming, crippling kind of consuming, a crippling kind of fear, Paul says you got to let go of that. Don't be anxious about anything. The word anxious literally means to be drawn in different directions, to be distracted. So to be anxious means to have distracting thoughts. You're being pulled this way, you're being pulled that way. And that keeps you from the task at hand. That keeps you from standing firm in the will of God when we're being pulled every which way. So it's a command. Do not be anxious about anything. And as soon as I say it's a command, what happens? Everybody starts, you start worrying. Oh, I'm not keeping that command. You know? So it just pours on more anxiety. Now, let me just point out a couple things here. Anxiety is not good for your body. That's pretty obvious, right? Things I've read here, it causes weight gain, it causes weight loss. If you want to lose weight, you gain it. If you want to gain weight, you lose it. All this heart disease, vascular disease, nerve problems, muscular problems, mental problems, immune system problems. High levels of anxiety wreak havoc on the human body. So it's not good for the body. And here in America, and this is just to America here, 30 million Americans are on anxiety medicine. That means 1 out of 10 Americans are on some kind of medication to help them with anxiety. And I know people here in this room, I know it's true here. Middle-aged women, 1 out of 4. And the use of anxiety drugs in the last 20 years have gone up by 67%. And something that really scares me here, there's a number of deaths associated with overdoses on anxiety medicine. That's gone up more than 400%. And I just want to make the observation, if this stuff worked, you would think America would be the most relaxed people in the world. But we're not. I mean, Americans, we freak out over everything. So it's not good for the body. And it's not good for the soul. I remind you what Jesus talked about when he talked about the parable of the four soils. You got the hard soil that didn't receive the soil. You got the good soil that received the seed and produced a lot of fruit. But one of the seeds fell on in thorns. And what Jesus said in Matthew 13, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, those two things, the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke it out, making it unfruitful. So you see how this is not good for the soul. This anxiety, this worry that's not from God, it's causing us not to be the people that God is calling us to be. We're not standing firm, and we're not producing the fruit that we're called to produce. Worry about the troubles of this life can make a person not receptive to the Word of God. So it's not good for the body, it's not good for the soul, and it's not good for the body of Christ at large. It destroys the harmony in the body. It makes people irritable. Anxiety ruins relationships because nothing makes you more self-centered than anxiety. And nothing destroys relationships faster than selfishness. Anxiety takes all your negative emotions and makes them worse. Little offenses become big offenses. Little things people do to hurt you become huge assaults. Minor disagreements become major conflicts because we worry so much. Now, I say this. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. So then I got to ask, does that mean all anxiety is bad? Is all anxiety wrong? Is all of it a sin? What about, okay, you see a semi coming right at you, 80 miles an hour and sliding on ice. I would think you have a right to be a little worried, okay? Just a little, maybe. Or you see a bear attacking your kid or a dog attacking your kid, and you freak out, right? Well, you have a right to freak out there. Maybe it's a good thing you freak out, because have you seen these like 90-pound moms that takes on a grizzly bear? They'll do that. Well, that's good anxiety. There is a good anxiety. And the word anxiety in Greek, I always want to go back to the Greek, is the word marineo, if I'm saying it right. And it means to be anxious. That's bad. It means to be concerned. Well, being concerned is good. Anxious is bad. Concerned is good. And Paul uses this word one other time in the book Philippians. I want you to see that. It's in Philippians 2, verse 20. This is what he says. I have no one else like him. He's talking about Timothy. Paul says, I have no one else like Timothy who takes a genuine concern in your welfare. And it's the same word. Where he says, be anxious about nothing, and he's praising Timothy because Timothy is concerned. Marineo, however you say the word. Timothy was concerned. He was anxious about the Philippians, and that's a good thing. And Paul himself, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, he says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern, my marineo, my anxiety for all the churches. He's concerned about the churches. He's anxious for the churches. Same word. You see it again in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. There should be no divisions in the body, but its parts should have equal concern. Marineo, that's how you say it. They should have equal concern for each other. Being concerned about one another, that's a good thing. We need to have a certain amount of godly marimineo, anxiety, concerned. So that makes me ask, okay, is it good? Is it bad? What's the purpose of anxiety? Why did God make us this way, where we freak out at certain times? I think it's okay to freak out at certain times. Anxiety is emotional energy. Anxiety causes your thoughts and your emotions and everything inside of you to run hotter and faster so that you have energy to take action. I'll give you a scenario here. Yeah, if you got a big exam tomorrow and you don't want to study for it. Anybody relate? Big exam coming up. You just want to watch TV. You just want to relax. And this goes on. Okay, this can go on for days and weeks and months until the exam is tomorrow. And now you waited so long, now the exam is tomorrow, and now you start freaking out and you study all night long. That's what the anxiety is there for, because your nature doesn't want to do it. So God's blessed you with his anxiety to make you do it. So this is why we do our taxes right before April 15th, because we start freaking out, we don't want to go to jail. So we don't want to go to jail, so we start doing our taxes. There's a good reason for anxiety. I'm saying anxiety can be a good thing. It's energy. Physically, when you have a surge of adrenaline, you're almost superhuman. You have this incredible strength. You have clear thinking. Time slows down. You can handle an emergency. It's an amazing thing. So why does Paul say not to be anxious? Not to be anxious. And I think the best way to understand this is to realize that he's not referring to that moment, that one-time moment where you need a burst of anxiety, a burst of energy to accomplish whatever is right before you. He's talking about that ongoing anxiety, ongoing worry. Even after the fact, you're still worrying about it. And I read this. I thought this is a good analogy here. It's like anybody here like to bowl? You like to bowl? And you go to a bowling alley, and you see this a lot at a bowling alley. And how does this work? At a bowling alley, what do? They aim. They take four steps, the backswing, and then they release, and then they start doing this little dance. That way. Does that help anything? You know, the more you're tiptoeing and you're cringing and all these trying to keep the ball from going in the gutter, does any of that help the ball not go in the gutter? No, at that point, the anxiety is to prepare you for the moment you release the ball. After you release the ball, the anxiety does nothing. It does nothing to help the situation. We need to use anxiety to get ourselves ready for whatever God has for us. But after the event, then the anxiety it's nothing but sin. It's sin because ongoing anxiety is a walking billboard. And it says, my God can't be trusted without my help. And that's evil. That's what that is. It's a sin because it displaces God in your life. When you worry, you're living as though God did not exist. You're living as though you alone can solve this problem. It's a sin because it distracts you from doing what really matters. As long as you're worrying about something, you can't do anything else. You're strangled by that worry. And I give you a good biblical example. Here's Martha. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? How Martha got really upset with Mary because Mary wasn't doing her part. Martha, you know, she's freaking out. She's distracted. That's what it is. She's distracted because the house still had to be vacuumed. You know, the cake still had to be made. All these things still had to be going. And she missed out on one of the greatest opportunities in her lifetime of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. And she missed it because of her anxiety. Anxiety dominates your thoughts so you become distracted by what's most important. The preparations for the meal became more important to her than the reasons for the meal. Can you imagine? I always go back to football. Can you imagine a football player missing the Super Bowl because he had to practice a little bit more? It's kind of what's going on here. You're missing the moment because of your anxiety. And notice, the more stressed out you get, the more easily irritated you are. As you read the story of Martha and Mary, it seems like she was irritated not only at Mary, but she's also irritated at Jesus. When you get, you just get mad at everybody because they're not helping you. So now you're just mad at the whole world because the whole world's not helping you. Anxiety tends to make you very selfish, self-centered. So what's the goal? What's the goal to this anxiety that so many of us are consumed by? And I would tell you, I just feel like it's from Satan, and we gotta see that this is from Satan. The Bible clearly tells us to cast our cares upon Jesus Christ, and for some, maybe we cast them, but we keep bringing them back in. We're not letting go. So what is the goal? The goal is not, the first thing I wrote, it's not apathy. Imagine a woman who's struggling with all this anxiety, and she's always worked up, she's always worried, upset about things outside of her control, and her husband is always telling her, you need to chill out, you need to be more like him, and he's not worried, he's not anxious about anything, and she's looking at him saying, I don't want to be like him. No, he's not anxious about anything, he just doesn't care about anything. Is that the right answer? To not care about anything, that is not the right answer. We as Christians, we are to be passionate about our faith, our walk with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things to be passionate about. Apathy is not the answer. Another thing I would tell you, numbness is not the answer. Caring less isn't the solution, and feeling less isn't the solution. But a way a lot of people want to deal with their anxiety is take a glass of wine, you know, maybe that'll take the edge off. or take a pill. Maybe that'll take the edge off. A lot of people turn to marijuana because that takes the edge off. What we do, everything is to try to take the edge off. Is that the ultimate goal, to take the edge off? That doesn't seem like a noble enough goal. It may be that drugs may help in some certain situations, but even then, they won't solve the spiritual problem behind the sinful anxiety, nor will they give you joy. And Jesus is trying to offer us joy, pure joy, wonderful, beautiful joy that comes from God. And that, and when we medicate ourselves, it just makes us numb. Just makes us numb to all of our emotions, including happiness and joy. People who numb their emotions are not happy. They're just coping with their unhappiness. That's not a high enough goal. So apathy is not the goal. Numbness is not the goal. Another thing I wrote down is world peace. The world can give you peace in so many ways. Your 401k, your job security, health insurance, lifetime warranties, deadbolts on your door. I mean, all these great ways that give us some type of peace. But I would point out, it's all limited peace. I mean, you might have job security until you lose your job, and then you don't have job security. Your 401 is great until the stock market crashes, and then it's not that great anymore. All this is not permanent peace. This is limited, very limited peace. No, the goal is a peace, a very special kind of peace, the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I'm talking about a supernatural peace that comes only from God, comes only through Jesus Christ. And I just want to stop here for a moment and just say, wouldn't you want that? Don't we want this peace that God is offering, this peace that makes the worries go away, the anxiety go away? Don't we long for this kind of peace? I hope that we long for this kind of peace. We should long for this kind of peace. So how do we get it? How do you go from being anxious and worried and fretting about, you're lying awake at night, your muscles are all tensed up, you're all these things. How do you go from that to having this peace with God? And Paul gives us a solution here in the same verse. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, the first thing I notice here, prayer, petition, thanksgiving, request for God. That's four different ways to say the same thing. Pray. You need to pray. Prayer is talking to God. Petition is asking God for stuff. Request is the stuff that you're asking for. Thanksgiving is another way to say pray. And then he adds the word in everything. All that, he's saying all these things, four different ways to emphasize we not only should we pray, we need to pray hard. Don't just mention your request to God. Grab hold of God and don't let go. I think very much of Jacob when he was wrestling God back in Genesis. And he wrestled him. He would not let go. That's how your prayer life needs to be. You need to grab hold of God and don't let go of God. Years ago, the movie War Room came out. You remember that? It was a Christian movie, War Room. Really good movie. And it's all about this lady who had a closet where she prayed all the time. She was so faithful in her prayers. And when she prayed, things happened. And you watch that movie and you get so inspired. I'm going to be just like her. I'm going to clean out a closet and I'm going to go to that room every night and I'm going to pray all night long to my Heavenly Father. That's what I'm going to do. And we do all that and we pray. And then we look at the clock and it's like 3 minutes has gone by. I'm like, I don't have a chance to be like that lady. Now, what is wrong with me? And then I start freaking out about that. And it builds up more anxiety because I can't pray like that lady. Prayer is hard. It's really hard. And praying hard is even harder. It takes a huge amount of energy, mental energy, to spend the time that we need with God, praying with God. You remember the disciples in the garden the night that Jesus was arrested. And what did they do? They all fell asleep. And I mean, those guys are so terrible. And I'm just like them. I'm just like them. It takes all this energy to pray. Where are we going to get that energy from? I'm just looking at this text and thinking of that word anxiety. What's the purpose of anxiety? Anxiety is energy. So we use that anxiety, that emotional energy, and we turn it to God and we pray earnestly before God. It's not just praying hard to get rid of the anxiety. It's using the anxiety to pray hard. That's why if God has given you anxiety, use that anxiety and turn it, get on your knees before God and pray. In another word, first of all, understand the solution to this worry and this anxiety, we need to grow in leaps and bounds in our prayer life. But another word I want to camp out on is that word thanksgiving. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So not only pray, but pray with a grateful heart. I think, you know, as Christians, you know, we've learned several verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Jesus says, trust also in me. In Isaiah, it says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. There's such an emphasis on we need to have faith. We need to trust God. And no doubt that is important. That's hugely important. But that's not what Paul emphasizes in this verse. Faith is important. Trusting God is important. But so is gratitude. So is praying with thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Faith is crucial, but gratitude is crucial. Because the heart of it, anxiety, it's an emotional problem. That's why we can't just say, stop it. That just makes us more anxious, right? When somebody just tells you, you just need to stop. No, you need not only change the way you're thinking about it, you need to change the way you're feeling about it. And the way to change how you're feeling about it is by being grateful, developing a grateful heart. When you feel grateful, you won't feel anxiety. To overcome anxiety, you need to not only think a certain way, you need to feel a certain way. So when Thanksgiving comes around, and everybody asks, you know, so what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful, you know, for my home. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for, you know, this, that. All these things that we're thankful for. The real question is, who are you thankful to? Not what are you thankful for, but who are you thankful to? Being thankful to God is more than just counting your blessings. You can count your blessings all day long, and it's not going to take the anxiety away. You've got to thank God for your blessings. You've got to recognize God is the one who has blessed you so much. Gratitude is not about stuff. It's about someone. It's about the person who has done this for you. So are we grateful to God? And I'm making this bet here. You cannot be anxious and grateful to God at the same time. If anxiety is your problem, then check your gratitude out. It's hard to overstate the importance of gratitude. It's one of the healthiest, most profitable things we can do. It is the antidote to self-pity. It is a cure for depression. It is the solution to joylessness. It improves your prayer life. It makes you get along better with people. It provides energy. There are all kinds of wonderful benefits to gratitude. But the one Paul is stressing in this passage is it's the cure for anxiety. If you struggle with anxiety, start developing a grateful heart. Another thing I see in this prayer, he says, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Focus on that word, in everything. In everything. If it concerns you, it concerns God. And then you would say, you know, is there anything too small? I mean, that's just so small. I can't take that to God. Well, then I would ask, is anything big to God? There's nothing big to God. So anything that's small, if it concerns you, it concerns him. Everything, in everything, take it to God. You know, here's another thing. What if it's not God's will? I would say, especially pray about that. If it's not God's will, tell God, Lord, there's something wrong with me. I want something you don't want. You got to fix my wanter. You got to pray to God. In everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Praying the way Paul describes in this passage reminds you who God is and what he's like. It puts your worries in perspective. It reorients your attention. It corrects misaligned priorities. All these things that come from having a healthy prayer life. And the promise is the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God which transcends understanding. I can't explain this peace to you. It's unexplainable. It doesn't make sense. You can't get it with human reason. This is a gift from God, this peace that comes from God. And what does it say? It will guard your heart and your mind. Like a SWAT team, it will guard your heart and your mind. From what? From your heart and your mind. From anxiety, the anxiety that haunts you. It delivers you from bitterness and despair and anger and dishonesty and greed and pessimism, and the list goes on and on and on. It's a supernatural peace. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a gift from God, and it only comes through Christ Jesus. Only comes from Christ Jesus. But you can have it. You can have it today if you will come to Jesus Christ and allow him to be your Lord and Savior. The big promise of this passage is not, don't focus on anxiety. That just makes you anxious. Focus on what God promises you here. He promises you his peace, this special peace, a peace the world cannot give you. It's a beautiful thing. And so if you're worried, what are you worried about? You worried about money? The peace of God will guard your heart. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your grandkids. The peace of God will guard your heart. Anxious about a test result, some medical procedure, something going on. The peace of God. You can have the peace of God while you wait for whatever the results are. God gives the same invitation to all of us. Take your worries. Take your cares. Take your burdens. Take your anxieties. And give them all to Jesus. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Jesus wants to give you the peace of God. Are we ready to come to Jesus right now? In a world that's at war, are we ready to come to Jesus right now? Your family might be falling apart. Are you ready to come to Jesus right now? Whatever's going on, whatever your concern is, are we ready to come to Jesus right now? With thanksgiving in our heart, in everything, let's go to our Lord and our Savior. And once again, thank him for being a God who's over all this. He is sovereign over all this. He controls all of this. So it's no reason for us to do that bowling alley dance. We just give it to God.